Well, friends, in January we've been doing a series, Jesus is dot, dot, dot. How would you answer the question? For me, Jesus is my hero or my Lord. And last week, Pastor Richard talked about Jesus is our freedom, and his catchphrase was, Jesus is the boss of me. Isn't that good? Because when Jesus is your boss, you can live in freedom because you're not in bondage to someone else. Today, Peter's going to be talking about, what are you going to be talking about? Jesus is God's favour for all. And our reading is from Luke chapter 4. And that's a continuation from last week's reading. The setting is that Jesus is back in his hometown, Nazareth. And where is Jesus on the Sabbath? He's in the synagogue worshipping with the people of God. And he has passed the scroll of Isaiah. And that's where we pick up our reading. Some of the comments he makes afterwards when he talks about God's favour to the pagans or the Gentiles upsets the town folk and they want to kill him. So anyway, here's where he reads in Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. Jesus said to them, well, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. And you will tell me, do here in your hometown what we heard that you did in Capernaum. Now, we don't know what they heard, but Jesus' ministry had already begun, casting demons from people and healing people. So they maybe heard some of that sort of stuff. We don't know. Truly, I tell you, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian from up the north. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of a hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Peter, would you come up so I can pray with and for you and for us? Father, thank you for Peter that you've given him the gift of an apostle to take the message of the good news and bring it to people, to wherever he's sent. We thank you that you've sent him here today. So, Lord, let this word of your favour, get into us, change us, and bear fruit in our lives. To the glory of Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you today. Great to be sharing God's word. And it's a privilege for me to be sharing this particular word. Romans 8 would probably be my favourite chapter in the Bible. And in a group of chapters, Luke chapters 1 through 4 would have to be my favourite. It speaks in Luke chapter 3 at Jesus' baptism of how the Father says over Jesus, you're my son, my beloved, and I'm well pleased with you. Something the Father says over us. It talks about favour and grace, God's favour and God's grace coming to us in the person of Jesus. It talks of the power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 4, the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness. Then he comes out full of the Holy Spirit. Then he ministers full of the Holy Spirit. And now in our Bible reading today, it talks about how the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And it talks about freedom, which Richard Haar shared about last week. Those beautiful themes. I love them. And today we're especially looking at this theme of favour. And favour is one of those one of those qualities, one of those attributes that when we're on the receiving end, we absolutely love it. But when we're called upon to give it, it sort of challenges us a little bit. And so here's Jesus in his hometown of Nazareth, and he's unrolled the scroll, the reading for the day from Isaiah. And I can just imagine, you know, his home crowd sitting there in raptures and in awe, because the last they remembered was, you know, when he's playing in the sandpit or when he's, you know, kicking the footy with their kids. And now here's Jesus and he's preaching. And my goodness, he sounds so eloquent. And the passage he's chosen, well, it's so relevant. It's so much for me. And of course they love it when it's for me. Don't we all love something when it's for me? And so here Jesus is saying, you know, from Isaiah, he's appointed me to bring good news to the poor. Well, I'm poor. Nice, I like this. Keep going, Jesus. Proclaim release to the captives. Well, my brother Joe, he's in prison. Yes, set him free, Jesus. This is good. Recovery of sight to the blind. Well, there's a lot of blind people around our place. They can't see. They can't see anything. They certainly can't see things my way. Yes, Jesus, give them sight. And let the oppressed go free. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Well, we can all do with a bit of that. Joe's son, he's come good, hasn't he? I like the boy. And Jesus knows that they like him. And Jesus knows the nature of human nature. And the nature of human nature is that when it's for me, we love it. And when I'm challenged to share what I thought was for me with other people, I'm not so pleased. And he must have been a good speaker, because it says that all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. Is not this Joseph's son? And so Jesus now realizes that there's something bigger at stake here. Some leadership is needed. It's nice that people like me, but sometimes people liking me is a blockage to the bigger picture. Sometimes the waters need to be stirred, not in an antagonistic way, not in a rebellious way, not to be a naysayer, not just to be negative, but to open minds, to broaden horizons, to enlarge perspectives. And so Jesus says quite clearly here, doubtless you will repeat to me the proverb, doctor, heal yourself, and you'll say, do here in your hometown the things that you've heard it done in Capernaum. And can you just imagine the people? Well, if he did those kind of things in Capernaum, just imagine what we're going to get. You know, hometown hero comes good. Signs done at Capernaum, bigger signs done at Nazareth. This will put us on the map. And so Jesus tells two proverbs, well, not proverbs, two parables, which are actually historical facts from the Old Testament. And both of these truths that he tells from the Old Testament are based in Old Testament history and the very reason you and I are here today. It goes right back to Genesis chapter 12, when after the Tower of Babel and everything, we don't hear for a while, and then God's plan starts to unfold. And he speaks to a bloke called Abram. He wasn't yet Abraham. Abram in the land of Ur of the Chaldees. And he says, Abram, I want you to take your wife and your goods and everything. And I want you to leave the land of Ur of the Chaldeans. And I want you to shift to the land that I'm going to show you. I'm going to make you great. And your nation will be great. Your descendants will be like the stars in the sky, like the sand on the seashore. And I'm going to bless you, and here it comes, so that you will be a blessing to the nations. The whole world is going to be blessed through you, Abraham. I want you to hear it correctly, Abraham. The reason I'm calling you is because you have favor. My favor in your life. Your whole lineage will be one of favor. And it will be a lineage of favor so that you can be a provider of favor, a bringer of favor, a conveyor of favor to the whole world. As goes you, so goes the world. And the amazing thing is that Abraham botched it. I mean, he didn't botch everything, but he botched a lot of things. That's so heartening for me. So incredibly comforting, because God's favor is not commensurate on Abraham's obedience, But God works in and through Abraham, despite his mess-ups, despite his failures, despite where he goes off the track. That's God's faithfulness. He does it throughout the history of the nation of Israel. And so we come to these two parables versed in history. Firstly, Jesus says, you know, were there no poor people, were there no widows in all the land of Israel that the prophet Elijah had to go to the town of Zarephath to find a widow there? Well, of course there were widows. Of course there were poor people in Israel. But the reason Elijah left to go there is to show God's favour. It's a living picture of the inclusivity of God. It's a picture of God's heart. And Naaman, who came down from Syria in the north, you don't think that there were other places, other people within the country who had leprosy? Were they all healed? No, they weren't all healed. Why was Naaman healed? To show the inclusive nature of God's favour. You see, and here's the whole point that Jesus is bringing this at his hometown, because Jesus knows that in 3 years' time he's going to be crucified by the religious elite. And the reason Jesus is going to be crucified and ostracized isn't because of who he excluded, but because of who he included. The tide of public opinion is not going to turn against Jesus because who he kept out, but because of who he invited in. That is the nature of the gospel. That's why it's called good news. But it rankles with our sense of fairness, doesn't it? You see, and that's why it's called favour. Because favour isn't fair. I mean, we like favour that includes me, but the fact that it's favour means that it also includes other people who I don't think are at my standard or at my level or have my understanding or have my knowledge or have my insights or have my morality or have my opinions. The fact that it's favour and the very use of the word favour and grace is by nature inclusive. And that's what people couldn't handle about the ministry of Jesus. They didn't like prostitutes putting ointment on his feet and crying and mopping it with their hair. They didn't like him including the tax collectors. They didn't like him partying with the underdog. They didn't like him pronouncing freedom, to pick up the themes of your past week's sermons. And to be honest, I'll speak personally here, I don't always like it when other people get included when I don't think it's fair. I don't understand grace. I don't understand favour. I understand karma. You know, I understand the law of revenge and retribution. I understand that if Rolly punches me in the nose, I'll try and punch him in the nose. Not fair, he's got an easier target. You know, I understand that. We all understand it. You know, when someone cuts you off in traffic, that person in the supermarket, oh, how obnoxious that they take so long to get stuff out of their trolley. Or is that just me? You know, maybe it's just me. You know, favour doesn't always come easy to us. And yet it's at the heart of the message of Jesus. Right at the end of Luke chapter 4, it's very interesting. It says, at daybreak, Jesus departed and went to a deserted place. And the crowds were looking for him, and when they reached him, they wanted to prevent him from leaving them. You know, the day before, he'd been healing everything, casting out demons, making people whole and holy. Then he went up the mountain with Father and tuned into Father's heartbeat. And then the next day he comes down, and everyone wants him to do a repeat of yesterday. Don't leave, Jesus, don't leave. More of your favour for me, more of your favour for me. My cousin didn't get to see you, and their dog didn't get to see you yesterday. And Jesus goes, well, Actually, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the others also, for I was sent for this purpose. You know, the word sent. The word sent means that God's favour goes to all. So, practically, how does this favour go to all? Congregationally, it's very difficult to bring favour to a community. You can have all your strategic plans. You can have all that kind of stuff. You can do all that if you want. But as a what's a congregation? A congregation is exactly what the word says. It is a congregation or a collective of individuals. So the way favour comes to a community, the way favour comes to a region, the way favour comes to a world is as every single person lives loved, lives free, and lives loving. I got that from a guy called Wayne Jacobson, and it's on the signature of all of my emails. Live loved, dot, 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 live free, as Richard shared last week, dot, 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 live loving. Here's the thing, we live loving when we're free, and we're free when we know how loved we are. But here's a problem, many of us don't know how loved we are. Many of us carry around a truckload of hurts, a truckload of past experiences. Many of us carry guilt and shame, and that leads us into hiding. We're our own worst enemies. It's not just that our cup is half empty, it's that we don't even believe that it can ever possibly be full. We look at other people's lives and we say it's possible for their life to be full, it's possible for them to be loved, it's possible for them to have favour, but I don't think favour is possible for me. Favour has bypassed me. And the reason we think favour has bypassed us is because sometimes we think favour is circumstantial. Do you know in Luke chapter 1, Elizabeth, who's going to be the mother of John the Baptist, says, after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived and for months, 5 months, remained in seclusion. So that's what a lack of favour does. It has you in hiding. And she said, this is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favourably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people. Favour speaks into the disgrace you feel into your life. Wherever you feel disgraceful, wherever you feel disgraced by other people, wherever you feel let down, wherever you are disappointed, we can join with Elizabeth and say, favour meets me there. Favour is not based on circumstances. And then in Luke chapter 1, the very next verse, there's a Jewish teenager called Mary, maybe 14, 15, 16, just minding her own business, and an angel comes and says, greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you. She hasn't been to Bible college, hasn't been to seminary, hasn't done Alpha, hasn't done 40 Days of Purpose, hasn't bought one of Peter's books. You know, she's a... How is this possible? She's done nothing like that. And an angel appears and says, greetings, favoured one. And it says, Mary was greatly perplexed by this, because that's what favour does. It perplexes us. I can't understand it. I know my history. I know my timidity. I know the opportunities I've passed by. Surely favour can't mean me. I'm perplexed by it. And when you're perplexed, it leads you to be fearful. And so the angel says, do not be afraid. You have found favour with God. Wow. Let me say, wherever you're hiding, wherever you're secluded, wherever you think that favour is not for you, favour will find you. Because that's what favour does. Favour's like my next door neighbour's dog when I'm cooking the barbie. You know? It just knows. Thank you. So the very next verse then says, and Mary pondered this. So when you can't understand favour, when you think favour is for someone else, when you don't know about favour, I invite you to ponder favour. In fact, spend the next rest of your life pondering favour. To ponder means to ruminate. It means to think about it. It means to apply it. And then the angel comes and says to Mary, Mary, you're going to be the mother of a baby. It's going to be called the Most High God. It's going to be the Saviour of the world. Mary goes, one little fly in the ointment. Angel, Mr. Angel, I haven't had sexual relations yet. And then the angel says, well, I'm going to plant a seed in your womb. Can I just say to you today, that's how all favour is birthed. Men and women, today, right this minute, favour is being birthed into the womb of your heart. And you say, I can't believe how this can be me. It's been birthed into the womb of your heart as a seed, and it will grow. And then the angel said, oh, look, the Holy Spirit's going to do this. And Mary, who still can't understand this, then Mary says, may it be to me according to your word. So, folks, there are things about your life that you don't understand. There's things about my life I don't understand. At 4 o'clock in the morning, I don't think it's possible for God to love me. And I just go, Father, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. Can you say that out loud after me? Father, let it be to me according to your word. Ah, I just saw roots and shoots grow onto the seed of favour. Now, 1.5 minutes of high concentration, please. This is the climax of the message. Mary now full of favour, goes to the hill country where Elizabeth, her cousin, pregnant with John the Baptist, is. She doesn't go via the seminary. She doesn't go and do a course. She doesn't buy a concordance. She doesn't go and do a Bible study program. She is full of favour. She's overwhelming with favour. And she goes and she gets to the house where Elizabeth is. And the Bible says, when she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth, Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting. The child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." When you carry favour, people's lives are changed. It's not what you know, it's what you carry. So you live loved. "Father, I am your daughter. I am your son. I don't understand how that can be, but let it be to me according to your word." Let's just say that is true. Apply it to my heart and grow the seed of favour. All right? Then I live free, because I'm no longer seeing myself the way I used to see. I no longer think I have to do an evangelism course. Tools are helpful. Don't get me wrong. You've got a great month coming up next month. Tools are very, very helpful. But tools can do nothing when you don't have favour. And so you live loved, you live free, and then you just start interacting with the favour that you've got. What happens? Well, a number of things happen. Firstly, you notice some changes in you. You'll be less judgmental, including of yourself. You won't see yourself according to your worst. You won't evaluate yourself by comparing yourself with others. You won't see yourself according to your deficits, according to the negative things in your life. You won't define yourself by what you're not, but you will begin to define yourself by who you are because of whose you are, and you will start to live out of that, and you will become less judgmental of other people. There was a lady I was speaking, well, there's a lady I was listening to a while ago. She's got a kid who's 16, 18, and I don't know the other two, they're in their lower 20s. And this lady was, she's in a bad way, and she was just saying, "You know, my kids don't visit me, they don't phone, they don't go to church." You know the story. And she said, "And they just don't show any respect." And she said, "My husband and I are sick of it, we've had a gutful. We're going to sit them down and we're going to read them the Riot Act." And then there was a pause while she waited for me to respond. And so I responded by saying, "How do you think that will look for you and your husband and your family in the next 5 or 10 years? And it went silent. She started tearing up and she said, "I just don't know what to do." I said, "Try favour. You don't have to accept everything they've done. You don't have to like all their words. But I can tell you this, criticism and judgmentalism, I'm not talking about boundaries. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about being walked over. But criticism and negativity, that they don't work." You see, you know what it says here in Luke chapter 4? At the end of this encounter, after they rejected Jesus, it says, "But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way." He was rejected. They'd gone from, "Wow, this is Joe's son," to, "Wow, this is Joseph's son. Who does he think he is?" And the whole town in which he grew up rejected him. But it says he went on his way. In other words, he went on listening to the heartbeat of his father. He didn't allow rejection to define his life. He didn't turn critical. He didn't turn judgmental. He didn't give them a spray. You know, when I left here in the beginning of 2009, according to people around Australia somewhere, I'd had an affair, diddled the books, started a new denomination, lost my faith. You wouldn't imagine the kind of stuff I'd heard. I never knew people were so interested. Certainly Julie wasn't. And it took me a while to realise their opinion is none of my business. And I've got two ways of responding. One is to get, two ways. The first thing is to get defensive, to go into bat for myself. And the second thing is to go, "Well, Father, I will walk on the way and the path which you have designated for me." And so when we receive favor, we can hold our head up high no matter what others are saying about us. So whether your kids are worshiping in the way you would like them to or not, you can still hold your head up high. Don't let other people's responses cause you not to live loved. You still live loved and you still live free, not bound by their opinions or their choices. And that enables then you to live loving. And it's only as you live loving that's their hope. That's where their favour comes from. Secondly, you will deal with rejection by returning to favour. I've already covered that. So when you get rejected, you go back to favour. Default setting, ponder favour. Default prayer, Father, let your favour be to me according to your word. And thirdly, you will unknowingly display the security of your identity in Father's favour. The more secure you are in favour, the more God's favour comes to all. Because really, what is all? All, like a congregation, is a collective of individuals. So reaching into the community with the gospel that all may know Jesus and worship him, you're not responsible for the all, but you are responsible, empowered by the Holy Spirit, for those in your household, as you'll hear in the announcements at the end. Your network, your neighbourhood, your sphere of influence. That's where you get to show favour. That's where you get to give favour. Just recently, sometime, someplace, Julie and I had gone above and beyond in a certain area of our life. And then in the same area of our life, but with different circumstances, we were met by the complete opposite attitude that we had just poured our hearts and lives back into. Man, I wanted to give a spray. But the Holy Spirit asked me to have a look into the heart and see the circumstances of this particular person. And even though I thought it was unfair, my heart softened. I'd had a box of books in the back of my car, which had been a nuisance. And when I went out to drive away from a meeting with this person, the Holy Spirit showed me the box of books. And I just went, no. And the Holy Spirit said, yes. And I opened the box because I thought it was a different book in there. I opened the box and there on the top was a copy of my book, Favored. So I picked it up. And I went to where this person was and I said, mate, I can't even begin to imagine being in your situation and being in your circumstances. I'm so sorry. And the person started opening up. And then he was misty-eyed and I was misty-eyed. And I said, look, for what it's worth, I've got a book, I do a bit of writing, and it's called Favourite. Yeah, it's a God book. But I give it to you. If you throw it in the bin or if you give it to someone else, that's okay. He says, no, mate, I'll have a look at it. Okay. The next day, some legal person rang me, said, here's your chance to go for this person. And ring this number to make it happen. I thought, wow, surely this is from God. He understands that, you know, Julie and I would need this kind of money. This is from God. Hung up the phone. Next thing I heard was the Holy Spirit saying, 1 Corinthians 6, why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be wronged? Now, folks, this isn't a template for every situation. This is me listening and me responding. So I rang Julie and she said, that really sits well with my heart. Little did I know that later on, we were going to have another encounter with this person. Just imagine if I'd given him the book on favour, then gone the legal route and then come back into contact. He goes, well, what the heck happened to flipping you and your favour? What, you and your God? Well, I know what you can do with him. Was that easy? No. Did I want to get on my high horse? Yes. Does it still irk me? Maybe a little. Do I still practice forgiveness towards that person? Continually. And so this is the life of favour. So when we talk about God's favour coming to all, folks, we're not talking a program, we're not talking a campaign. We're talking living loved, living free, and living loving. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we receive right now the favour that you have for us. You birthing into our hearts, the womb of our hearts, the seed of favour. We thank you that this morning I've seen, even as I've been teaching here, I've seen shoots, roots going down and shoots coming up. Deposits of your favour into the people gathered here today and the people listening online. Father, we thank you for your acceptance of us in Jesus by his death and resurrection and ascension. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to apply the full favour of Father's heart to our lives. We receive it and choose in you, Jesus, to live loved, to live free, and to live loving. Amen.